This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to another edition of Sahaba Profiles. We are discussing the life of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu an, the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu an, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus far we have explained that scholars write that from the five people who resemble the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most, Ja'far bin Abi Talib was one of them. We explained that his father Abu Talib had a very big family, and on one occasion a drought had struck and things were very tough economically, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to his uncle Abbas and said, look, my uncle Abbas, your brother Abu Talib has got a big family, he's struggling financially, let's help him out. You take one of his children into your care and I will take one of his children into my care. They went and they put the proposal to Abu Talib. He accepted. He said, leave my son Aqil with me and choose from the rest. So they took Abbas radiallahu anhu took Ja'far, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Ali. And Ali radiallahu anhu grew up in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the first from amongst the youth to accept Islam. And Ja'far grew up in the house of Abbas radiallahu anhu, and when he became independent, he was young also at the time, but he was independent, he accepted Islam. In the very early days, before the teaching started at Dar-e Arqam, he married a woman by the name of Asma bint Umays. She also became Muslim. They were part of the group who were persecuted and who were really marginalized by the Quraysh, and they sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make hijrah to Abyssinia, to Habasha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted them that permission. When they came to Abyssinia, they found that they were given sufficient space, they were allowed to worship Allah freely, they were allowed to dedicate themselves totally to ibadah, they did not have to look over their shoulders, they did not have to worry about their lives, they did not have to worry about being persecuted or oppressed as a result of their beliefs, until the Quraysh started to think that those who are gathering in Abyssinia, one day they're going to come back and they're going to pose a problem to us. So they sent two very strong personalities to try and convince Najashi, the Abyssinian king, to send them back. The one was Amr bin As and the other was Abdullah bin Abi Rabi'ah. Now, taking the story further, when these two came to Abyssinia, naturally, there was a great degree of concern amongst the Muslims because they knew the agenda. But these two personalities were very smart. They were very strategic. When they came, they didn't go to Najashi directly. They started speaking to all the ministers of Najashi, the royal ministers, the official priests, etc., gave them a lot of gifts until there wasn't a single person who didn't get a gift, expensive gifts. And then they asked them to set up a meeting with Najashi. Now, the Muslims were very worried, and they had a meeting of their own. What will we do? And they decided that only Ja'far bin Abi Talib will answer questions, and only he will speak. He would be the spokesperson. So the next day, Najashi called them, and when he called them, all the priests were there. They had their their religious books open. These two gentlemen from the Quraysh were there. And these two gentlemen had put forward that accusation that these are rebels. They have forsaken the deen of their forefathers. They have taken a deen which no one has heard of. They are troublemakers. Send them back with us and we will sort them out. Now, when Najashi called them, he asked them, he told them, tell me, what's this that you worship? Tell me about this deen, this new deen of yours. So Ja'far bin Abi Talib gave a speech that went down in the history of humanity. He said, أيها الملك كنا قوما أهل جاهلية نعبد الأسنام ونأكل الميتة ونأتي الفواحش ونقطع الأرحام ونسيء الجوار ويأكل القوي منا الضعيف وبقينا على ذلك حتى بعث الله إلينا رسولا منا نعرف نسبه وصدقه وأمانته وعفافه. He said, O king, we used to be in total ignorance. We used to worship idols. We used to eat dead meat. We used to involve ourselves in shameful behavior. We used to cut family ties. We used to, abandon our neighbors. The weak amongst us would be totally consumed by the strong amongst us. And we remained like that. We lived like that until Allah sent us this prophet from amongst us. We knew his lineage. We knew his truthfulness. We knew his integrity. We knew his chastity. فَدَعَانَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. He called us to Allah. لنوحده ونعبده ونخلع ما كنا نعبد نحن وآباؤنا من دونه من الحجارة والأوثان. He called us that we must worship Allah alone, and we must leave all of these idols and everything besides Allah that we are worshipping. وَقَدْ أَمَرَنَا بِصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ وَصِلَةِ الرَّحِيمِ وَحُسْنِ الْجِوَارِ وَالْكَفِّ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ وَحَقْنِ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَهَانَا عَنِ الْفَوَاحِشِ وَقَوْلِ الزُّورِ وَأَكْلِ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ وَقَذْفِ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ. And he gave a whole lot of examples. He said, this prophet, he stopped us from speaking lies. He encouraged us to speak the truth. He encouraged us to fulfill trust, to engage family ties, to be good to our neighbors, not to harm our relatives, to not to spill blood. He prohibited us from shameful behavior, from futile talk, from usurping the wealth of orphans, from accusing chaste women. وَأَمَرَنَا أَن نَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And most importantly, he instructed us to worship Allah and not to associate any partners with Allah. وَأَن نُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ, to establish salah. وَنُؤْتِيَ الزَّكَاةَ, to give zakah. وَنَصُومَ رَمَضَانَ فَصَدَّقْنَاهُ وَآمَنَّا بِهِ. We accepted all of this, all of these essentials, and we followed him. But when we started to follow him, our own brothers turned on us. فَعَذَّبُونَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ لِيَفْتِنُونَ عَنْ دِينِنَا وَيَرُدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ. Our family and our friends and our very community turned on us, and they tried to force us to go back to idol worship and to our old ways. And that's when we felt that we were oppressed, and we left and we came here and we found sanctuary here. When Najashi heard this, he said, هَلْ مَعَكَ شَيْءٌ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ نَبِيُّكُمْ عَنِ اللَّهِ. Do you have anything that was revealed to your prophet? And that's when Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu an started to recite from the opening verses of Surah Maryam, which talks about Maryam radiallahu anha, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they say Najashi cried until his beard was wet with tears, and his priests cried until their books became wet with the tears. And Najashi said, "Inna hadha alladhi jaa bihi nabiyyukum walladhi jaa bihi Isa liyakhruju min mishkatin wahid." He said, "This which was revealed to your prophet and that which was revealed to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam." Najashi was a Christian, remember. And therefore he was so touched with the story of Maryam in the Quran. He said, what was revealed to your prophet, which you have just read to me now, and what was revealed to Isa, the prophet that I believe in, it comes from the same lantern. And then he turned to Amr bin As and the other man who came as the messengers from the Quraysh, and he said, the two of you can go. I have given them safety. I have given them protection in my land. There's still more to the story. We will continue the discussion in the next Sahaba Profiles. From myself, Sulaiman Rawat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.